Man, there's some singing in this building. You all can sing. It's a real blessing to be with, I promise you. Because that's not always the case at churches. Sometimes the singing can be a distraction. But it's very edifying here, and I commend you for it. You've been so good to me, friends, and I appreciate it. It's good to know you. Thank you for the kind hospitality and the patience with me. Last night was the perfect storm. It was warm. It was the first evening since the time change. There was like two of you awake the whole sermon. So hopefully it's a little cooler tonight, and about five of you probably stay awake tonight, hopefully. So, but it's a blessing. You know, here it is. There's a time coming, and we know this because we've seen it happen for so many people. But there's a time coming when you're going to breathe your last. You're going to close your eyes for the last time, and your heart's going to stop, your spirit's going to separate from your body, and that's when everything comes to reality. And so what I'm hoping is that we're ready for that. That when that moment comes, that we've accomplished our purpose in life, which is to fear God and keep His commandments, to know God and His Son, and to have faith in Him, love for Him, and to be right with Him. And there's a lot of things that has to happen, but turning from sin and loving Him with all of our heart has to be the case for all of us. But another thing that has to happen is that if we're a sinner, we need to be in Jesus. That we need to have our sins forgiven by being in God's Son. That's where the hope is. That's where the promise of eternal life is. And that's what this lesson is focusing on. It's helping us see what it means to be in Christ and exactly how God has defined that. And I get a running start by looking at how God commissioned John the Baptist to go and be the forerunner to announce to the Jewish people that their Messiah is coming. And in order to prepare them for the Messiah, he taught them, among other things, to be baptized. To acknowledge that they believe that this is about to happen, the Messiah is here, but also for the remission of sins. And this is something that was a total departure and a new teaching in terms of what the Bible has recorded. That never in mass like this has God ever commanded people to be baptized. But John came to do that. And he was known as the Baptist. That's what it says in Matthew 3 in verse 1. He was John the Baptist. Of course, obviously, not associated with a denomination, but rather that's what he was doing. He was known as the one who was immersing people, preparing for the Messiah. Well, what we see in Acts chapter 19 is that at least 20 years after Christianity had begun, so John's work was already over, Paul comes to Ephesus. And he looks for people who are serving God. And he looks for these disciples. And he meets with them. And he says to them in Acts 19 and verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." So here are people who only knew about the baptism we just described, the one that John went and told people in preparing for the Messiah. That's all they knew. And the problem is, Christianity has been in effect over 20 years at this point. So that baptism was no longer valid. It was no longer God's will for people to prepare for the Messiah, but rather to receive Jesus at this point. And so that baptism was no longer valid because it was given to prepare people for Christ. And so he let them know in verse 4 that John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then he laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, like initiated the whole conversation. Did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Well, at this time, the Spirit was given to disciples through the laid on of the apostles' hands for the gifts, because they didn't have the complete word like we have. And then they received it. But notice that he says, well, why were you baptized? If you didn't receive the Spirit, And to what then were you baptized? And they said, of course, in John's baptism. Now, that just goes to show that why we are baptized makes all the difference in the world, because at this point, the baptism of John was no longer valid. Most of us in here remember growing up where you didn't have seat belts in vehicles. Some vehicles didn't even come with seat belts. And it was a very common thing. We used to ride in the back, you know, the back window. That's the prime spot. The kids would ride back there on trips or whatever. We'd ride in the back of trucks. It was just, we lived dangerously back then. We liked to get as close to death as possible. And that's what was happening. It was fine because there was no regulation. Now, if you don't have your seatbelt on, they'll pull you over and you'll get a ticket. But you can't say that when you're pulled over for no seatbelt, well, but I was raised not to wear a seatbelt. That's the way it was when I was brought up. And the officer's going to say, well, that was an old law. Now you're under a new law. You can't go by that old law. And the same thing is happening here. These people could not be right with God as long as they held to this old baptism. And so they had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which is for the remission of sins. But it's also the only way to get into Christ. You are baptized into His death. Romans 6 and verse 3. And so, like I said, the moment is coming when you and I have to leave this world. One of the things we have to make right is to make sure we've done this. Make sure we've obeyed the right baptism. And so we look at ourselves. Do I need to be baptized? Should I be baptized? You know, have I done it for the reasons God says for people and sinners to do it? It's an important thing. If it did not matter to God, this text would not be in the Bible. But it does matter why we are baptized. And it's a very important part in our relationship with God. I remember I was brought up in a church like this. My mom was converted when I was 4. So I was brought up hearing the truth and seeing the truth, exposed to the truth. And around the age 12, one Sunday afternoon, I was with a friend from church. We were swimming in the pond. And he says, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to go ahead and get baptized tonight. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. And so I joined him. And so we went forward and we were immersed that night. And I remember at least trying to live right after that. But around age 19, I started hearing lessons like this. Acts 2, Acts 9. I started hearing lessons that taught the purpose of baptism. And then I realized, well, I never did it for the remission of sins. I did it because my friend did it, in all honesty. And so when I realized I had not done it for the right reasons, I had no peace. I had fear and guilt. And I remember reaching out to God, praying, crying, knowing that something needed to happen. And so I put my faith in His Word and obeyed His Word and was baptized at age 19. And there was a big difference then than age 12, because my understanding was a little bit better. Obviously not perfect, still struggle with sin, but the promise of forgiveness is there because I'm in Christ. And that's God's promise. If you're in Christ, He will forgive you. You have the remission of sins in Him. Well, you cannot get in Jesus without this baptism. It has to be the right baptism. And sometimes that has to be broken down for us in understanding. What is baptism? Well, the term itself is an immersion or a submersion in water. You are submerging somebody in water is what the term refers to. When you have a boat that is submersible, when it goes underwater, okay, we call that a submarine. It can go below the water. Well, that's the same thing here, that you're not just simply getting wet. You're going under the water. You are buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And we have seen that already in the story of the eunuch who was converted that day in the chariot, and they came to some water. And he says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And so they stop the chariot. Now think about that. Here's a man who's traveling through the wilderness, through the desert. And he says, okay, I want to do this. Here's water. Why can't I be baptized? And they stop the chariot, and the Christian and the eunuch go down into the water, and the Christian immerses him, submerges him underwater. Why? I mean, if it's just simply getting sprinkled, he had that in the chariot with him. He had drinking water, certainly. So why stop the chariot? Well, he stopped it for many reasons, but one is he could not be buried in water in the chariot. They had to go down into the water. And that's what God commands of people in this act. And everyone is to do this with faith in God when they do this. Now, we've all been underwater. We've immersed our children and given them a bath. We've all put them under. We've been swimming. We've gone under. But it's only when we go under to obey God, to be set free from sin, that we've obeyed this baptism, when we do it by faith. And that's the only mode God has told us in the New Testament. That's the only way water can be applied for salvation, is through baptism. And that is the only way we can do this. He's dead now, but I remember a preacher friend of mine telling me that back in his youth, he was visiting somebody in the hospital, and they were not doing well in their health, and they were concerned about this, and she wanted to be right with God in Christ, and she was in such a condition to where she could not leave the hospital, was what he told me. And so he said she really wanted to do something. And so I had everybody leave the room, and I got some water, and I sprinkled her. He says, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Well, brother," and I was serious. I said, "Why didn't you tell her to eat peanut butter and jelly for salvation?" And I was dead serious. And he knew that. He goes, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, would you have told her that? Would you have told her to eat peanut butter and jelly for salvation?" "Well, no, of course not." "Why?" "Because that's not what God's Word says." Well, then how in the world can we give hope to people in those conditions by sprinkling? That's not baptism. That's not a burial. The way God... And if you can see, well, I would never tell somebody to eat a sandwich for salvation. Well, why should you put your hope in the act of sprinkling? Because that's just as authorized by God as the other. And so we have to understand, this is God's will. It's His plan. And that's where we need to reside, is put our faith in His plan. Well, sometime after that event with my friend, I was studying with a man who was the father of a member at the church we were at. And he was an older man. He was around 93. And so we were studying, and we were looking at these things, and he was wanting to be right with God. And so we went through like Romans 6, and I showed him what the Bible says and how you have to be in Christ to be set free from sin, and then you're buried with Him in baptism. Well, this man was on oxygen, and it was winter. And he was like, "Well, how do I do this?" I said, "Well, what does this text say?" "Well, I have to be baptized, okay?" "Well, that's what we have to do. Don't you agree?" "Yeah, I agree." He says, "But I can't leave. I can't leave my house, my apartment, because of my condition." And he said, "What do we do about that?" I said, "Well, what do you think we should do?" He goes, "I need to be baptized." I said, "I think you're exactly right. I think that's what the Bible teaches." And so we decided, we called his son-in-law, who was a deacon, and he came over, and we were able to fill this man's bathtub. He was a small man. And we were able to baptize. He took oxygen off. We were able to baptize him. And we were able to rejoice that night because we didn't put our faith in ourselves. I could have easily said, "Hey, let's just get some water and sprinkle." You know, I could have done that. But instead, we put our faith in God's Word, and he was able to rejoice. And 3 months later, he passed away. But he was ready. He was ready to meet his God because he put his faith in his gospel. Now, he was a small man, and we could do that. If you did that to me, you would just have a wet floor, because that's just not going to happen unless you've got a ginormous bathtub. But in his case, it did work, and I've done it since then with some people, able to do this at home. That's what he teaches us. That's the plan he gives us in being buried in water. And the reason we do this is to be set free from sin. That's the only reason given in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that a people were told who believed in Jesus at this point, and they knew Jesus was the Son of God, because Peter says, "You killed the Son of God." Well, it pricked them to the heart. It bothered them because they knew he was right, that they were guilty of killing God's Son. Now, at that point, they believed. And so they said, "What do we do about this?" And Peter said, and all the other apostles said, "Men," they said, "What shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so we see that he told them to repent, to no longer reject Jesus, to begin obeying Jesus, following Jesus. And, of course, to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. You do this in order to be set free from sin. Now, if he had said, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized for a brand new chariot," would there be any question as to what would have to happen in order to receive the new chariot? Or whatever it might be. Very plain language. We do this in order to be free from sin. Now, some have said, well, the term in the Greek means that you do this because you are saved. That it's an outward demonstration of an inward grace. You're baptized to prove or illustrate your salvation. And yet the very same term is used in Matthew 26 and verse 28, which we looked at on Sunday, taking the Lord's Supper, that Jesus says, "This is the cup, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So did Jesus die in order to save people from sin, or did he die because people were already saved from sin? You see? And so we can see that it's in order to receive something and not because of something. And so that's what the Bible teaches us. We do this because we're not yet saved from sin and we want to be. And so we put our faith in God and we do this for that reason. Now it's important that we understand that, because sometimes people can do this to fit in. I did it because my friend did it that Sunday many years ago. Others have done it in order to join a church, or have done it in order to satisfy or pacify their family. Others have done it in order to be eligible to marry that person. That happens. In fact, there's a case right now where we have a new work starting in Bowling Green. And one of the men who will be a good candidate as an elder one day, it cannot serve right now. I didn't know. I thought at least one of his children was a Christian, but found out neither one of them are. And we're not going to say anything to them. He's not going to say anything to them, and I'm not going to. We're not going to put this type of pressure on those kids to say that if you become a Christian, your father can serve as an elder. No, that doesn't even need to be on the radar, because they need to do it in order to be set free from their sins as believers in Jesus. And so that's so important when we are baptized. We do it in order to be set free from our sins, in order to become a Christian. That's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. It says that you are children of God through Jesus. And he's the mediator. He's the one that makes it possible for you as a sinner to have a relationship with a holy God. And so he says in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and looking at this, that you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So here he's saying that, yes, we do it for the remission of sins, but we do it in order to enter the body of Christ, to into Jesus. Now, when did you get in this building? Did you get it in here when you decided, okay, tonight I'm going to go and give the guy another chance? Is that when you got in here? That when you said, okay, I'm going to go to church tonight? Is that when you were in here? Or even when you actually got in the vehicle and started driving here, were you in this building yet? Even when you got to the parking lot, were you in here? No, the decision and the effort to get here didn't put you in here until you pass through those doors. And so it is with us. It's not when we decide to serve God that we're in Christ. When we realize we need to be in Him, that doesn't put us in Christ. When we put forth some effort to serve God and acknowledge our faith in Christ, that doesn't put us in Christ. It's only when we go all the way and we are sons of God through faith, okay, you have to go to God through Jesus, but you're baptized into Christ. That's the only way you can get into Christ, is through this gospel. And so why do we do this? We do this in order to become a Christian. You're not a Christian before you do this. Well, who is supposed to be baptized? Who's the person that's going to be baptized? Well, we understand it's going to be people who believe that. Jesus said, when He came back from the dead, "You apostles, go tell all the world what I've done, that I've died for sin, I've come back from the dead. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Now here's what He said. And this works like clockwork. It's amazing to see people's reaction to this. So there it is. Mark 16, verse 6. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And so that's what it says. That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved is what we just read in those passages. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now what happens in our world is that people have said he who believes is saved and then should be baptized. Okay, that's what our world has. That's the world we were brought up in. Okay, we were born into that. And others have said that he who is baptized is saved and should later believe. And that's what happens with infant baptism. You're baptizing them to save them from sins they're born in. And later on, they need to be taught to believe in Jesus. Well, that's not what He said. He who believes and is baptized is saved, is what Jesus said. And people need to understand that. That the person who's going to do that is a person who believes that and is willing to repent of their sins. Men and women, when they heard this, were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. People who could understand this message and who could understand that they're in sin. Put it this way, and I think it's a good way of looking at it. Who should be baptized? When should you baptize? Who should be buried in baptism? And it should only be somebody who is dead in their sins. Somebody who is dead enough to bury, as one man says. You only bury dead people. And so the Bible says that you and I imitate Jesus in His death, burial, resurrection by dying to our sins, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. You do not bury living people. You're not saved before baptism. And so we see that this is something that believers do who want to become a Christian. So when do we do it? It's a common thing for some people to schedule some future date for people to be baptized, and yet we see in the New Testament that that's not how it's laid out. We should obey it as soon as we understand it. Acts 8, the same day the eunuch learned it, he obeyed it. Acts 16, the same night the jailer learned it, he obeyed it. Same hour of the night. When should I be baptized? Well, here's the short answer. As soon as you want to be set free from sin, that's when you should obey it. When you realize that you can no longer live in peace apart from God, that's when you should want to be baptized. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says we're to do this for the remission of sins. And so we obey this baptism. Jesus commands it. Saul was told to wash away your sins. We're told that it's done for the remission of sins, to be saved, to be set free from sin, to enter the body of Christ, and to demonstrate our faith in Him. And again, I can make copies of these charts if you want them. But here's what we have to understand, and our friends need to realize. Why are some people not baptized? And this is a very common thing. Because you can see this. I mean, this stuff is as plain as day. Very simple to understand. And yet some people won't do it. They're reluctant to do it. And there are many reasons for that. One is, well, I've already been baptized. That I was part of this faith, or I belonged to this doctrine, denomination, or whatever, and we did it back then for various reasons. But the Bible shows us that why we are baptized makes all the difference in the world. Here's a little tip, because you've seen this, I'm sure, in studying with people. It never, it just never surprises me anymore. When you're studying with somebody and you ask them about their salvation, and they'll say, yeah, I was saved, and then at some point later on I was baptized, that they had asked the Lord into their hearts, so on and so forth. And then when you go through this, they'll say, yeah, I did that. That's what I did. I obeyed that baptism. Even though they said prior that they were saved before baptism. And so a real valuable tip is to have them write it down. Okay, when you're studying with them. How were you saved? Are you saved? Yes. How were you saved? How did you get delivered from your sins? Have them write it down. Show them the truth. And then compare the two. Because it never fails. People will always come back and redefine their baptism like this, even though they did it for other reasons in times past. And yet the Bible shows us that if we were not baptized in order to become a Christian, to be set free from sin, that did not save us. The purpose of our baptism is significant. Acts 19. They were baptized, and yet they had to come back and be baptized for salvation in the name of Jesus. Well, some aren't baptized because there's belief that they believe they were saved by faith. And a very common text is to go to Ephesians 2, that we're saved by grace and through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And so people will read these passages, like Ephesians 2, and say, well, it says right there that we can't do anything for our salvation. And if I'm being baptized for the remission of sins, that's a work that I can boast in. And yet the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so you people who teach this baptism for salvation, you're trying to boast in your salvation in that you've done this, and somehow you deserve that. But don't you know that Ephesians 2 is the worst text to go to prove that idea? It's the worst one. And the reason for that is because we already read in Acts 19, the Ephesians are the ones who were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. We already read that. That when Paul came to Ephesus, he met with 12 disciples he thought were Christians. They were servants of God, but they never obeyed this. And so even though they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, he still said to them later on, you didn't deserve this. You didn't earn this. It is God's gift to you through faith in him. Well, some aren't baptized because they don't want to upset their family. That's a real thing. And yet Jesus teaches us that we have to be willing to love him more than our parents, more than our children, more than our spouse, more than in-laws, anyone. We're to put God first before everyone. And we're to bear that cross in following him. And that is a very heavy cross that we all have to follow and bear in life. But it's possible for people to do this, even with all these obstacles. So, I'm hoping to go back, but for several years, my mom was born and raised in Samoa, Western Samoa, in part Samoan. But I was raised in Texas, though, and she lives in Texas. So, since, I think, 2016, somewhere in there, I can't remember when I started going. Anyway, every year I started going over to Samoa because my brothers were both living there at the time, and one's still there. And so we would go over and preach. And there's a faithful church there in American Samoa that my brother and his family are a part of. But we would also go to Western Samoa, and we would do some teaching there because that's where my mom actually was born and raised. And it's been a really fascinating experience. But COVID, I haven't been able to go back since that then. But anyway, I had gone many years. And one year in Western Samoa, we come to this lady's house and we're meeting in her house. I mean, she's just like Lydia. It's amazing, this really neat story. Anyway, we're meeting in her house and large group of people show up this one night, and I'm teaching this, okay? I'm teaching baptism. And we go through it, and one of the people who was there was a preacher, a pastor of this church, this Assembly of God church, very charismatic group, but they're there, and they've been coming, okay? And so they hear this one night. We get up, we sing the invitation song, you know. Well, packed house, nobody comes forward. Okay, there were people standing outside. I mean, just like the stories I hear from back in the day here in this country. That's what it was like this night. So we're singing the invitation song. Well, no response. Okay, that's that. Well, that preacher gets up, and he's speaking in the Samoan language. And he says to them, because my brother is translating for me, he's saying, there are some of you here who haven't done this, and you know you need to do this. And so after he says some things, about five people come forward. And they say, okay, we're going to go ahead and do this. And we had to go to the ocean to do this. And so a couple of vans, there wasn't enough room for all of us to go. And so they took off. My brother went and, you know, performed the baptisms. And I stayed back with those who couldn't go, and along with this preacher. So we're talking. And here's a picture of him. So we're talking. And I say, because I was impressed. I said, man, I appreciate what you said about baptism. I said, tell me about your salvation. What about you? I mean, because I just assumed he believed this. And he says, well, he says, I was literally the prodigal son. That when I lived in Hawaii, I was living a very dangerous and illegal life. He was into drugs and all that. And he said that he hit rock bottom, and he was literally feeding swine. This is what he was doing to get by. Crazy. And he said that one day I was in the pig pen, and I was ashamed of myself, ready to change. And I asked God into my heart, and he saved me. And I was set free from sin at that point. I was a new person. And he said I had an experience and things like that. And later on, he was baptized. I said, no, wait a minute, Mac. I said, you were saved in the pig pen? He goes, yeah, I was saved in the pig pen. And I said, you were baptized later? He goes, yeah, baptized later. I said, now what did Jesus say? He said, Jesus said he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He goes, yeah, that's what I did. I did that. I said, now wait a minute. You said that you were saved before baptism, right? He goes, yeah. But what does Jesus say? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I, you know, broke it down with the images like that. And there was silence. I said, now, do you think you've done that? No, I didn't do that. So what do you think we should do about that? And he said, well, I want to be right with God. And so he decided to have one more baptism that night. And when they got back, we went, you know, somewhere else, and he was baptized for the right reasons. And the thing is, he had been a pastor for 20 years in that faith. His dad is a regional director, a huge office in that faith. But this was a big step for him. And so we're in the ocean, he and I are. And I know he's struggling with this. And I say, Mac, look, this does not mean this is the first time you've loved God. This is not the first time you've served God, believed in God, dedicated your life to God. This just simply means you have just learned the truth and you're willing to obey it. That's all this means. That you believe in Jesus as God's Son and you're putting your faith in Him. And he appreciated that. So he obeyed the gospel. So, anyway. So what about you? I mean, should you be baptized tonight? You might say, well, I've already been baptized. Okay, well, good. But have you done it for the right reasons? Have you done it in order to become a Christian? To be set free from sin. And unless you've done that with faith in Jesus, you have not obeyed this gospel and you're not prepared to meet your God. When they heard this, as it says in Acts 19 and verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know, in Matthew 28, that also means in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, and I don't know who is and who isn't, but I share these thoughts with you that tonight's the night. This is the night for you to start over in being born again. Or it could be that you have done this and yet you struggle with sin, which I know all about. But because we're in Christ, we have this promise. And God's promise is that if you come to Him through Jesus, He will forgive you. And so if you are a sinner in need of salvation, we persuade you to respond to our Lord as we stand and sing.